This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 551, recorded on December 27th, 2017. It's our last episode of 2017, and we have just spent 15 minutes watching poor Don fight his Skype and his Windows 10 to get his microphone working, but we waited for you. We would have said, Chris, screw you. We're going to do the show without you.
You have in the past.
Yeah, I have in the past.
they'd have kicked me off and brought Jason Kirk in my place.
I mean, ooh, that's not a bad idea. I'm kidding.
They'll do that to anybody, Matt. So don't feel special.
But not you. Not you.
We held off for you, Don.
We waited for you, Don.
Yeah. Don, so if Don sounds different this week, actually, he sounds pretty good. He's actually speaking through his webcam. And I am always like anal about don't do that. But his webcam sounds pretty good.
Yeah, we're going to have a problem when a truck drives by. But in the meantime, I think it's good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the road's like 2 feet in front of me, so, you know, there's...
Yeah, it's I've been to your house. It's a little farther away than that.
I'm just picturing the idea that there is no wall, you know, facing you. This is just all an elaborate set that faces out onto the highway.
That would be great. I haven't been there that long. That might be the case. My gosh. Don, I'll send you a microphone this week. I'll get that out in the mail tomorrow. So, my goodness, what's going on this week? So we had our big year in review episode last week, which is tfradio.net/550. Go download and listen if you haven't. We basically recapped everything worth talking about for 2016. So,
and some things not worth talking about.
That's true. You know.
Well, a lot of that got edited out, I think.
I edited the heck out of that episode.
I think you cut about an hour out of that episode.
Yeah.
Brian, you Nutrisystem and SlimFasted that episode together.
Because I know we talked for over 3 hours.
So there's nothing I hate more than editing. But guess what? It's actually, now that I've got my keyboard mapped in Audacity, it's actually pretty easy. I'm like a pro at it now, so.
You had the Audacity to map your keyboard?
I did. I certainly did. But yeah, so nothing really to go into. No, like, big announcements. Toy Fair will be coming up in a couple months. A little over a month and a half. So I guess we need to start getting people hyped for that.
Yeah, start by getting me hyped for that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see all the stuff that's already been spoiled for us. Like, yeah. 6 months ago. Yeah.
So
we'll probably get to see Predaking for the first time.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, oh, there's still 2 months for that to be spoiled for us.
Even if Chinese social media doesn't get to it first, Hasbro always officially releases their first image of that like 2 or 3 days before Toy Fair happens anyway.
That's been the case. Yeah. So Saturday, February 17th, that will be our big day.
Well, since they're ruining stuff for us, wouldn't it be like unsocial media? Since they're ruining stuff.
Anti-social media. Yeah.
Anti-social media. Hey, speaking of, make sure you follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. Just putting that out there.
Well, we're getting that in early, aren't we?
Well, you know, we need to. I heard a nice statistic this past week that people only listen to 95% of a podcast. So, like, the stuff at the end, no one ever hears.
See, I'm the statistic that listens to 5%, but it's only just, like, the first 3 minutes of any given show, and then I stop.
Hey, we just got it in at TF Radio. So, did anybody get anything this week? And, Chris, I'll start with you, since you have been holding us hostage with this knowledge. Since Twitter.
Yes. So Matt, do you want to just like preemptively say, Chris, you suck, or should I wait and hold this up first?
Well, I mean, you already know you suck, but I'll just go ahead and tell you again for good measure. Chris, you suck.
I sure do.
I knew exactly what you were going to hold up, and you didn't even have to tell me.
Damn it.
I hate you that much.
Do you have Optimus as well?
No. So I decided to go, post-Christmas shopping in Nashville just to see if I could turn up anything. M. Cipher was tweeting last night, I think, about clearance generation stuff.
At Target.
I didn't find anything of interest in that regard, but I did happen to find just 1 liter Class Power of the Primes toy sitting on the shelf, and it was the one I wanted.
At Target?
How is he?
Yeah.
Crap.
So it's not without some kind of, you know, issues. If you want the arms to go out to the sides, the joint for that is behind the head. There's no outward movement at the actual shoulder. I've run it through its transformation, you know, all of its transformation stages once, since I didn't have a whole lot of time between getting home and actually the show starting. There is a lot more, like, just basic friction connections than I would really like to see on this, like a lot of C-clip kind of things. And a lot of like awkward twists and turns to get some of the pegs and tabs into their places.
In the chat, Rodimus Supreme says, "You suck." Just wanted to send that along.
Thank you. So the big thing I'm worried about with this is the arm connections, because that is using just like friction C-clips as the main means of holding that on. And I'm very concerned that over time those are going to start to loosen up and, you know, they're not going to hold the arms in quite as well as they need to. But okay, yeah, so the stickers on the trailer are definitely going to be damaged the first time you ever move this panel. I actually took the time out to take pictures of them in their semi-pristine out-of-box state just so I would have that documented, because I could tell those were going to mash up around the hinges. And yes, they did the first time I actually tried to transform this.
Repro labels.
Yeah.
Get on that.
I agree. Yeah, really.
This is your mission now, Dusty. Get to it.
Yeah, pretty much, because we don't have the Takara version to fall back on anymore. Yeah,
exactly.
So there's nothing like overly complicated about this or frustrating to try to do. Everything's fairly straightforward. There's just, I have issues with some of how it's engineered, how some of the connections are put together, just because it doesn't feel like something that's going to really hold up over extended stretch of time. I don't, like, it's not anything that's going to break right out of the box or anything. Everything's in good shape and, you know, holding pretty tight right now, but I really kind of hate getting a new toy and feeling like, you know, in 5 years, this is probably not going to work anymore.
Can you just remove them? And like, is it like a lot of detail that is going to be missing without that sticker, or?
The stickers themselves are just the flame on the side. So like, that's something that would be easy for Reaper Label to just substitute with something that doesn't, you know, fit into the hinge space.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have a little gap here, but that's better than the stickers getting mashed up.
Quick question.
Yeah.
On camera here, the upper and lower arms color do not match all
that
well.
No, they don't.
Okay.
They don't.
I was wondering if that was still the case in person.
Yeah, so this is the Hot Rod part specifically, and this is the trailer / Rodimus part. The Rodimus parts are a more like burgundy kind of color, and the Hot Rod parts are more orangey red. And they did not make any effort to try to bring those together in the place where they directly interface.
So, John, you seem to be really happy about Hasbro stickers.
Yeah, I forgot that was a thing since I've been buying Takara stuff for the last like year and a half.
Well, this is new.
Yeah.
Oh, the good news is that if you buy the Takara stuff, now you'll get the Hasbro stickers with that, too.
Yeah.
That's a segue probably to later in the show, but I'm sad now.
So, Chris,
I'm sad.
Any other thoughts?
On the basics, it's pretty good. Like, the articulation's fine. I have concerns about the knees because they're pin rivets like Six Shot. The only ratchets are just the forward movement of the hips, and that's a fairly soft ratcheting. So that's one of those places where if you don't get like quite right parts fit, you're going to have something like Hasbro Six Shot knees going on, and it's going to be a little bit more floppy than it needs to bear.
Awesome.
But the chest is a tampograph, not a sticker, so at least on that score, you know, there's one bright point.
That's good.
Also, the Hot Rod mode itself is actually pretty nice. A little bit basic, but pretty nice.
So the Hot Rod mode is about the size of a Deluxe or a Voyager?
Bigger,
okay.
Taller.
Did you get anything else?
Let's go with no, because this is the thing that's on my mind because I just got it.
Okay, I want to go ahead and go. Since the episode before last, I ended up getting the rest of the Titans Return Deluxes, the Power of the Primes Deluxes, plus Ramhorn, and I got Starscream and Grimlock, so they're okay. But actually, I want to mention this, because this is what I'm most excited about. On the show a couple weeks ago, we mentioned that that Tuesday morning miniaturized Fort Max. And our buddy Sean Hamilton, who's in the chat right now, sent it to me.
All right.
Yeah, so it's still on the card. I'm going to open it. He's had it on the card forever, and I'm sorry, but I am going to open it because it's beautiful, and I've opened all my other Tuesday morning stuff. So I don't know. The card, it is really nice, and I'm afraid it'll disintegrate if I open it. So it's like it's Schrodinger's Fort Max. I've got to decide what I'm going to do. But in the box,
if it makes you feel any better, the one I have is pretty solid. One of the guns kind of did, like, the bracket that holds the gun in broke, and it kind of is loose on mine, one of the hip guns, but that's the closest to a problem I've ever had with it.
Okay. Man, I may just leave it on the card because it looks nice on the card. He also, in the package, just threw in a carded, and we did something else we talked about recently, carded Robots in Disguise Spy Changer Crosswise, and it's the one with the 10.
Cool. Oh, neat.
Yeah, and it still has the original KB price tag on it. It was only $3.99, which actually seems like a deal at this point.
Yeah, although flashback to 2003 or that so, like, when that came out,
was like $3.99 bucks.
Seems like a lot for a spy changer.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, KB always overcharged.
Yeah, but that's definitely staying on the card because, I mean, I have a Crosswise. I just don't have one carded, so that's wonderful. I love that. Thank you, Sean. I really, really appreciate that. You didn't have to do that, but you're the man. And that's all I got. Who else got anything? Don, did you get anything?
Yeah, the shelves are kind of bare around here. I went to Target as well to see if anything, because this is when a lot of the stuff comes out from the back now that there's room on the shelves.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and I saw they marked down Sea Spray's Wave down to like 730. The Power of the Prime stuff wasn't affected because it's a different DCPI. Ninja Turtles were marked down, a few things here or there, but it's pretty bare at all the stores that we have left in town.
Cool. Diecast, what about you?
Nope, nothing.
Really? Okay, Matt? Yep.
Nothing Transformers related, no.
Okay. John?
Nothing Transformers related.
Rob?
I'm pretty sure this is since we last actually did this. Aldi's had Titans Return Ramhorn for $4.
It's awesome, isn't it?
It is. I agree with Chris that Shuffler has the slightly better engineering. Mine seems to be the slightly darker brown, incidentally. The both versions were cited at Aldi's, the slightly orangey brown and the darker, more muted brown, which I think is what I've got. I like the way that the Rhino head unfolds, even though it is almost totally pointless. I like that. That's a goofy mechanism that puts a horn at the front of the tank mode for no good reason. And I just kind of like it anyway. So it does also, you know, it does have the, leave the Rhino ears. There's little control sticks for your Titan Master. And that I like.
Yeah, a lot. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I also got for Christmas, Titans Return Blaster, which is the last of the leader molds I did not have. I like that a lot. He is, sadly, he's the only leader class figure that does not allow you to leave the head installed in its alternate mode. But the little, like, dummy cassette thing that stores in his chest has a little storage space for it, which is kind of nice. So, and it does have absolutely the best base mode of any of the Titans Return leaders. So, yeah, I'm really happy with that. I like it a lot.
So before we get to This Week in History, I want to go ahead and do our 2018 predictions. So I think that is something that each year, man, going back probably the last 6 or 7, we've been doing predictions. And at the end of the year, going back and seeing who was most correct. I think this year it was me, I'm going to say. I think it for the first time ever. Matt, though, got about 50%. Considering he guessed like 50 things, that's actually pretty good. So this 2018, we'll see back in December of 2018 who got the most correct. So I've got two. I think Chris only has one, and he wanted to go first. So we're going to start with you.
Yeah, because I think there's a common one that most of us are going to share. So I'll just chime in with a me too when we get to that point. So my prediction for myself here is disappointment. with 2018, because we've already seen, you know, all of Power of the Primes for at least like 2/3 of the year. There's not going to be like a whole lot left to surprise us from that because of all the leaks. We've seen a lot from the studio series, the movie Generation Z line that they're doing this year. You know, we know Predaking's coming, and it just like, there's no surprises for us. The Takara Power of the Primes, which a lot of us were counting on, we know now there's nothing in that for us either. Maybe we'll get like Unite Warriors or something, but who knows at this point with the like the branding philosophy that seems to be adopted, you know, starting in the late part of this year and going into next. I just feel like, you know, this might not be the best year for us overall. Also, we're probably all going to die, so that kind of a downer too.
Okay. You know, that's, it's going to be hard at the end of the year. It's going to be hard to discount that one. I think we'll just have to take a vote if you're
correct.
Yeah,
we'll vote and see who's disappointed with 2018 or, you know, who died.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and go next, because I only have two. My first prediction is, and I think this is the one most of us share, except for Diecast, Bumblebee starring John Cena will not perform as well as The Last Knight, which we know that The Last Knight was a huge disappointment domestically. I think that Bumblebee will actually do even worse.
Me too.
Matt's nodding. So Diecast, oh, yeah. I think Diecast has a different prediction, so we'll let him, he'll go next. And my next prediction, this is my bold prediction, because I think that's the, I think that was low hanging fruit. My bold prediction, it may not happen in 2018, but at the least we'll get an announcement. I believe that we will have an official Transformers convention above and beyond HasCon announced. I think HasCon will be the overall brand convention, but because Transformers is not Hasbro's biggest property anymore, and the fans will clamor for it because HasCon wasn't really what Transformers fans wanted out of a convention, I think Hasbro will give in, and there will be another official Transformers convention that's handled by a third party. Diecast.
Yeah, I'm going to, like you said, I'm going to go the opposite on the Bumblebee movie. I think with a different director, John Cena, and a lot of the younger generation, everyone grew up and, you know, is really fond of Bumblebee. I'm going to say it's going to do better than The Last Knight.
I hope you're right. I just think,
I hope you're right too. Yeah. And in one context, it has a shorter distance to cover to do that, because we know its budget is much, much smaller. So even if it only does as well financially as The Last Knight did, that would be a huge success comparatively.
Yeah, but my prediction is that, it, not profit-wise, but just overall gross will be lower than The Last Knight.
Yeah, I kind of figured that's what you meant.
Which should be an obvious, because obvious, yes, because it was a spinoff, or is a spinoff. But The Last Knight did so poorly, so it's kind of it's really a low target for them to hit, and I don't think they'll even hit it.
I hope that's not the case, because that may be the end of the Transformers movies for a while.
I mean we're predicting doom for that, but I think we all really hope doom. That's not the case, because yeah. See, that's what they should make a movie of. I think we're all hoping it's not really the case though, because that is gonna be bad for the brand overall if it does go that way.
And the thing is, The Last Knight, we harp on how bad it did domestically. Internationally, it still did pretty good. It was $600 million, which is nothing to sneeze at.
And then for my third party prediction, I said this last year, it didn't happen. I think it's bound to happen, is we're gonna get a third party Unicron.
Springer.
We'll get our seventh Springer. No. Third party.
Maybe 2018 Unicron will be the year of Unicron. We'll get six or seven of those.
Transformers the movie, 1986 Unicron.
I mean, if Iron Factory wants to do like a little Unicron, you know, something that maybe
I'd buy
the size of a Voyager.
That would be great.
I would be about that.
And then is it too early to do 2019's Titan figure? Because they may start talking about it.
Yeah, they would tease that in 2018.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be Unicron too.
Okay.
Okay. So
I think you've got a fair shot at that.
pursuant to that diecast, for bonus point at the end of the year, what part of Unicron do you think they're going to pull out on stage at New York Comic Con to tease that as if nobody knows what they're talking about?
It would have to be... I would think the outer ring is the most iconic of Unicron.
Okay. So, like, an outer ring piece, or maybe, like, the robot mode wing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so let's make a note of that and see if Diecast can earn a bonus point at the end of the year.
That's all I got.
Okay, Don.
All right. I think we're going to finally hear something about the actual Collectors Club. It's already been almost a year and a half, so someone's going to realize, hey, that's the thing we were talking about. Maybe we should do something with it. So I think we'll hear at least the rumblings of what it's going to be, which might morph into what Brian's talking about as an actual convention. You know, they may say, instead of doing the club, let's just do a convention once a year. So instead of having this thing every couple of months, we just do it once a year. The fans are happy. We only have to worry about it for a couple of months and we're done. So I think we're going to at least hear about that. I think that what we're going to see, my bold predictions are, I believe in 2018, we are going to see Masterpiece RC. We've got Hot Rod. I just have a feeling that, you know, they're going to do a Masterpiece RC at some point.
Now, obviously this is not part of your prediction, but do you think that the first version or the follow-up version will be the Headmaster? I'm guessing the follow-up.
Yeah.
Well, it would make sense for them to do it as both in the same one, because that's really not going to be a big drive. There's not a lot of people out there that would buy that similar a figure again just for that minor difference.
Well, they're doing that now anyway with everything else, basically.
Well, you know, the new Hot Rod is a Target Master, yes, but he also has a different paint job, and there's probably some other differences on there. With RC, if the second one was the Headmaster, you really couldn't differentiate her too much from the first one.
Except for being a Headmaster.
Exactly, but it seems like they would want to do, like, the second version would be the Paradron Medic.
I was going to say they could have her in Paradron Medic colors as a Headmaster.
Yeah, I think a Paradron Medic would be something more like a retailer exclusive, the Cartomi Mall, not something they would probably push out as its own.
I could see them going basically in almost every single color that they did the Energon RC in.
Yeah, or
it looked good in blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, or if they wanted to try to get E-Hobby back up and running the way it used to be, that might not be a bad thing for them to have. Another bold prediction is I believe that we will see the announcement, if not the actual figure. I think we will see Masterpiece Beast Wars Megatron. Even though Japan does not like their villains for the most part, which is why we've never got Shadowline figures, I think that if you've got Primal, you're going to have a Megatron. And with the engineering they've learned from Dinobot, and as we've said, even though Megatron would be bigger, his engineering is simpler. So it comes down to basis of materials and packing them to help balance out the price. My final big prediction, and this is partially for all of our friend Paladin, I honestly believe this is going to be the year we're going to see an animated Omega, because people have seen how these G1 Omegas are doing. They're doing Guardian City repaints. So I think we're going to see an animated Omega, and maybe, just maybe, either Fans Toys or KFC?
DX9.
Yeah. I think someone is going to get a wild hair and do Omega Scream.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I just think...
Nobody's buying it.
If you need to get a third use of that mold, obviously that would be... So that's my predictions is, you know, RC, animated Omega, and an Omega Spring from one of the two companies.
So maybe somebody did the little SD style Omega Supreme. That'd be even better to do Omega Spring off of, I think.
real quick, I forgot there is a third Omega coming out from Wajang.
Oh, yeah.
So Wajang can be doing that as well.
So I just want to mention this because not everybody knows who Omega Supreme is. That was a European Action Master.
Action Master Elite.
Elite that they got the Omega Supreme
design.
But the design in different colors, and his name is Omega Spream, Spreem. And it's one of those toys or one of those things when you see people mention it online, they think it's a typo of Omega Supreme, and you have to correct them. No, that's a thing. Look it up. There's always somebody who doesn't know what that is. So, and another thing, Don, I don't know if you saw this, but Blade Raider had a prediction. Blade Raider predicted 3 on-stream Massey attacks in 2018.
That seems very conservative.
Yeah, I think
that's very low.
That's Blade. Low.
So, Blade, how much money do you have on that bet? You know, so as I'm being wheeled off to the hospital, I can laugh gleefully that you are out certain amounts of money.
So, Matt, what are your predictions for 2018?
Okay, so the shared one, okay, Bumblebee the movie. I think in response to the last night, Bumblebee the movie is going to have low expectations set by Paramount, and it's still not even going to meet those. It will perform worse than the last night, and Brian Kilby will still see it at least 3 times in the theater anyway.
I will.
Okay, so I think with the lack of combiner-related toys that have been announced in the Takara Power of the Primes line, I think we're going to get a return to Unite Warrior-style box sets, and we will see a Leo Kaiser in this line.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. As far as Masterpiece goes, we know from an interview that Takara is looking at completing, you know, the 1984-85 assortments. I think we'll see a Trailbreaker this year. And my last prediction, the way the Legends class has been redoing mini-bots, I think we're going to see an update of Huffer and Cliffjumper and a new Warpath.
Okay.
Here's hoping.
Rob.
Okay, I've got 2. My prediction for the Bumblebee movie is that it will make its budget back. I don't know whether it will meet or exceed the predictions for it, but I think it will at least be profitable because it's relatively low budget, and I think it's going to be critically much better received than any of the previous movies. And hopefully those two things together will be enough for Paramount to carry on. Beyond that, I only have 1 prediction, and my prediction is that sometime during this year, we will see a leak or a Hasbro announcement that in 2019, we will be getting a Power of the Primes Leader Class Star Saber.
That would be great.
Here's hoping.
John.
Okay, so for the Bumblebee movie, put me in the camp of it overperforming. And then 2 toy things. I think one way or another we'll see kind of Matt's point, a Unite Warrior set with the G2 Protectobots. I think somebody will pull the trigger on that. And then I think next year not only will we get a new Masterpiece Seeker mold, I'll predict by the end of the year, so by December 31st, all 3 Starscream Thrust and not Thrust, Starscream, Skywarp, and Thundercracker will be in market in that new mold. I think Takara will crush everybody and just rush to do a money grab. They'll roll out the new Seeker mold, and they'll go ham, and they'll release the first 3 guys within 2018.
That's okay. A good one.
Yeah,
that's very good.
I don't want to have to buy those again.
I'm hoping that will come true.
I will happily buy them again if the mold is good.
Okay, let's move along to This Week in History. This Week in History, I think we talked about this a couple weeks back. Wardon premiered in the U.S. Not that this happened a couple weeks ago, but that episode specifically just came up in conversation. It's one of my favorite season one episodes, even though it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's season two.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Heavy Metal War. No, sorry. Wardon is...
Yeah, that's what we were talking about a couple weeks ago.
No, Wardon is the last episode of season two? It's the...
No, the last episode of season two is Bot.
It's the episode... It's
how
the
could
episode,
you forget that?
It's the episode before Bot. If I remember right.
It wasn't not in my market, but...
No, it's the episode immediately following the creation of the aerial bots.
Which is also late in season two.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, it's toward the end of season two.
It's towards the end, but there's still a handful of episodes before Bot.
So, basically, Wardon is the... I wonder if it has something to do with Christmas, now that I think of it. Probably not. Because Wardon is basically It's a Wonderful Life for Transformers. So for those who don't remember, Wardon is the episode basically where the aerial bots, like, what's so great about Optimus Prime? You know, the Decepticons aren't that bad. And they're thrown back in time, and they learn, yeah, the Decepticons kind of suck. So we need to do what we can to keep the Decepticons, you know, from winning. So that's basically how that episode worked out.
You know, plus we get one of my third-party wishes that we hadn't got was the Decepticons, the little cube troopers with a little flatbed soldier. Because I was still hoping to get maybe one of those so you could sort of have a little diorama with them.
And, of course, this is also the episode that introduced Dion. And also, this was the first appearance, or the only appearance, I guess, of Orion Pax, right?
Yeah.
And Ariel. Ariel, yeah. Man, and back in the day when we didn't have anything else to talk about, we went on and on and on about who Dion ended up being. Back, you know, like 50 years ago. That used to be a hot topic. Nobody cares now because stuff happened.
When I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was saying that, you know, with this, all this power of the Prime stuff, and I think we brought this up before, they could make that Ultra Magnus, the Optimus into Ultra Magnus, and then have, I mean, I don't know if they would recolor that Orion Pax or have a different mold, but they could do Dion and Ultra Magnus, or call him, or since they've got Magnus Prime, the name already. From the box set, there's another possible use.
Yeah, I know. If they do powered convoy colors on that Optimus, I'd probably buy that.
I was always of the mind that Dion ended up being Ironhide. That's just me.
Yeah.
Because it was a season two episode.
Or he just died.
He just died. Yeah.
Alphatron
was like, who cares?
Yeah, I think that'll be like the eternal question. You know who did the Cyclonus come from? Was it Bombshell? Was it, you know? It'll never be answered to anybody's.
And I don't care anymore.
It'll never be answered to everybody's satisfaction.
Yeah. So also in 2007, the animated episode Transform and Rollout premieres in the U.S. Wow.
Yeah. So
10 years ago.
Yeah, yesterday, as of the time we were recording, is the 10-year anniversary of Transformers Animated.
Oh my God! I'm so old. 32 years ago for Wardon doesn't seem that bad, but 10 years ago for
used to that.
Yeah, 10 years ago for animated.
32 years ago for Wardon is fine because you were a kid then.
Yeah.
10 years ago for animated, you were an adult.
I was very much an adult. I was nearly 30 at that point. Damn. Mm-hmm.
And now you're nearly 40.
Now I'm nearly 40. That was the best, craziest time of my life. And I took an hour and a half aside so I could watch that, or however long it was.
Wasn't it 3 episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that was great. That was just, I loved animated so much. I miss animated so bad.
And unfortunately, the day that premiered, I was not at home with my satellite service, so I missed it. They never reran it, like, for at least 2 years, I don't think. I never, like, they would always start the rerun cycle over with Home is Where the Spark Is. So it wasn't until they actually released Transform and Rollout as its own DVD release that I was finally able to see it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. I'm sorry. I'm glad you got to see it, though.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so what else we got going on? That's it for This Week in History. Moving to the big item, Unifying the World, Brands with Power of the Primes, from Figure King magazine.
Yeah, so we don't have a ton of details on this. We're working off a summary of an article from Figure King magazine from this month, which was provided by Autobase Aichi, and then we web translated that.
And T-Formers isn't waiting for me.
Basically, it looks like the motivation right now is to try to bring Hasbro and Takara's brands closer in sync with each other. So we're seeing a big expression of that with Power of the Primes being the same in both markets, at least for the stuff we've seen of what Takara is releasing so far. But like, if you look back, this is not a move without precedent, because like the movie Masterpiece stuff is co-branded. Well, no, I just mean like in the current situation, like the current scenario here, the current environment. You know, the movie Masterpiece stuff is co-branded. Through the leak we've seen, the studio series stuff is also co-branded. Like, this is something that they've been working on in small steps. Even the Transformers The Last Knight line, having the toys be basically identical, you know, from one side to the other. It's all kind of signs pointing to the same outcome. And it looks like now they're just saying outright, this is kind of our path moving forward. I go on in the article to say we probably don't need to panic about this yet. There's a difference in my mind between making like main lines like your movie line or Power of the Primes match from one market to the other, but it doesn't necessarily preclude that, you know, Hasbro or Takara Tomy could choose to do sidelines of their own that aren't going to be reflected to the other company, and that could still have the, you know, individual benefits that we kind of expect from like the Legends series and Unite Warriors. So
it
basically
just makes me sad.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked some options on Power of the Primes in general.
I love
but
it.
Like, there's a lot of, I don't want to say panic as such in the fandom, but, you know, the fandom's very reactionary to every little thing, and I think it's a little bit too early to really jump to any hard conclusions here.
Now, Chris, I wanted to ask you this earlier. This is what I mentioned to you on Twitter. Do you think that if this becomes a trend, that there may be a possible upside in the fact that once they get the Power of the Primes kind of going in the direction they want it, as far as everything going on, to meet the demands of the Takara market, which is a heavier focus on accuracy, they might, our Hasbro versions will get more paint and more deco. So that way, if they're not differentiating them that much, we'll actually be getting slightly better figures so Takara can meet their market demands. Do you think that's possible?
I don't think so, because in a situation where they're syncing up both offerings, they would have to settle to the lowest sustainable point. So that would be Hasbro's budgeting. And we already see that the Takara Power of the Prime stuff is at noticeably lower price points relative to equivalent Legends toys. And that's probably a reflection of Takara having to use less paint resources, etc., in their production. So, like, their costs are lower. They can maintain their margin at a lower retail price point then. So, like, I get what you're saying. And, I mean, it's not a bad idea if they could find a way to meet in the middle a little bit more. My concern is we had from that press release about the Terracons that as of wave two or three of Power of the Primes, the deluxe price point is going to go up to $20. I'm concerned that's going to be just to maintain the level that we have right now, and not have to cut back even further on decos and such. So I think at this point, the hope for Hasbro Takara brand synchronization to give us more than what we have now is probably not something we can really expect.
Okay, I'm sure one of the litmus tests of this idea is going to be see how Takara sales do, because the Japanese collectors are used to a certain level for them that they're not going to be getting now, and if Takara starts losing more money from these collectors not wanting this lower level deco, that could be an important factor as well.
Well, and see, that's why I'm thinking, like, this is not necessarily saying there's never going to be, like, a Takara exclusive,
right,
you know, collector's line. Because, like, with the movie stuff, yeah, the main movie line, the main The Last Night line, is basically identical to Hasbro's releases. But there's also been Movie the Best in 2017, and we're getting a second round of that in April, I think, of 2018, which is going to be folding in Transformers The Last Night molds with more deco, Hounds getting different accessories, for example. There's no reason to say right now that they couldn't do the same thing for the Generation stuff. You know, that could be still the Legends branding.
Yeah.
You know, there, that could still be an option for Takara's market specifically, yeah, because that's what they need.
But pretty much don't expect the Blur and Blur anymore.
Yeah.
I think probably what part of this is about from Takara's side of things is to try to increase accessibility to the child market, what it is in Japan. You know, lower price points, the stuff's a little bit simpler, but if they can bring that back in, that's better for them too.
Overall, yeah.
Where, you know, yeah, where Legends was pretty hard focused on the collectors, and, you know, Transformers Adventure has been out of commission for maybe almost a year now. I've lost track of where that dropped off, but I mean, since then they haven't really had something to try to grab the kids with.
Yeah. So, actually, speaking of, I want to move to the next item. Hasbro Studios catalog reveals the length of Transformers Cyberverse and Rescue Bots Academy. I want to go ahead and just read this description. We talked about it before, but for those who missed it, Cyberverse, Bumblebee is on a critical mission where lives are at stake, only he can't remember what it is. It's a good thing his best friend Windblade is found in to help repair his damaged memory chips. So basically what it is, it's Windblade helping him jar his memory through the series. It's going to be 18 episodes and
of 11 minutes
of 11 minutes each and written for 6 to 11 year olds, which is what cartoons are written for, typically speaking. Mm-hmm. So that's not a big deal. I'm actually pretty excited about that. Just basically, I'll have to see the first couple episodes before I can base a judgment on it, because, you know, Titans Return and Combiner Wars also sounded pretty good when you got their description. But this is a different crew and a different cast working on it, so I have no doubt that it will be better. Rescue Bots Academy will be released in 2019. It's aimed for 3 to 5 year olds, so what Rescue Bots is aimed for now. And it'll be 52 episodes of 11 minutes each, so the same length, but more episodes. But the most awesome part of this whole thing, Hotshot is so freaking adorable. I love Hotshot.
I hope we get a toy of that.
God, yes. But it's not so far off from the, I mean, it's not super far off from his Armada toy, but it's kind of like a Go-Go-Gobots version of Hotshot, just looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for Go-Go-Gobots, that sort of style of toy, to come back. I guess it's probably too expensive compared to the Rescue Bots toys, that or whatever they are.
Considering they're like 4 times the size.
Yeah. But it is so freaking cute. I just wanted to mention it because of that, because that's actually our album art this week, because I love Hotshot. And I would probably watch that for 1 or 2 episodes just to see Hotshot. So... Masterpiece, Cassette Bot versus Cassettron MP15/16E. It's being, I guess it's actually coming out now. We have first in hand photos of that. Man, I need this.
It's going to cost you.
Oh, what, yeah.
Like $100.
I think it might be 120.
I just paid for it.
And $30 each.
But I'm just waiting for my shipping notice.
Yeah. So, man, Enemy looks phenomenal. But again, I'm looking at my Enemy that I have right now.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi. You're great. I'm looking at the Enemy that I have above my head, and I don't know that, again, that the Masterpiece Rumble and
Do you Frenzy, have any of the Masterpiece cassette bots, Brian?
Yes. I have two that are out. I have Rumble and Frenzy.
And have you compared them to the G1 molds?
Yeah. I think Ravage, Buzzsaw, and Laserbeak, I think, are definitely better, obviously better than their G1 counterparts. But I don't really love the
Rumble and Frenzy.
But yeah, the Rumble and Frenzy mold, I just don't think it's that much better than the G1 toy. I think that's the exception. But with that being said, I do want enemy.
To disagree with you there.
You know, it is what it is. But yeah, so $120 four of them, plus you get the new mold. That's, I don't know. I don't think that's that bad of a deal. At least you don't have to buy another Soundwave to get it. Like when Sound Blaster came out and you wanted to get Rat Bat, you don't have to do that to get these. So Takara spared us there.
Well, for now.
For now.
I mean, when they do eventually get around to releasing Blaster, it's not going to be too long before there's a Twin Cast and some exclusive that comes with that. Although, at that point, I can't imagine what they would pack in with that to make it be another Sound Blaster Rat Bat situation.
Sunder. Yeah.
Well,
damn you.
No, I don't. Maybe not. I don't think Sunder. So I think probably what'll happen is when we actually get, Blaster, we'll probably get Steeljaw because we have this. We'll probably get Ramhorn, but Eject and Rewind, you probably will have to get Twincast for.
No, I think it'll be a Soundwave thing where you'll get Blaster, and they'll have two different types of cassettes, and Sundor will come with Twincast because.
Well, we're also thinking about how we got it in the U.S.
I'm not.
And we haven't seen many masterpieces in the U.S. So I think in Japan.
What is the last masterpiece that got a U.S. release?
Maybe
Bumblebee.
Yeah, but
no, MP10.
Yeah, MP10.
Well, yeah, that got a re-release.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying though, so I think. Didn't Soundwave in Japan? I think he only
came with Laserbeak.
He came with Laserbeak or Buzzsaw.
He came with Laserbeak. Yeah, and he came with one cassette,
and he had to buy the pack for the others. Bought,
so it was like Buzzsaw and Rumble or Frenzy, and then Ravage and whichever humanoid cassette wasn't with the other set.
Yeah, so with Sound Blaster, you got a standard cassette. You had to get Rat Bat, you had to get Sound Blaster. So that's why I think that you'll get screwed over when Twincast comes out if you want one of the standard cartoon characters and not like Sunder.
I think they would do Eject and Rewind in the same kind of two-pack situation. And you know, Matt's probably on the right track with something like Sunder for Twincast. Because that would just make me so sad.
Yeah.
Well, I was,
and that would make you tooling it would, to deal with either.
Even better.
Yeah, I was thinking what they'd probably do would be Eject and Rewind with Slugfest and Overkill. And then that would get you caught up to everybody up to that point.
I can't see the mixing Autobot and Decepticon cassettes.
I'm just saying the versus pack or they would have up to that point with all of them, and then you would see the Grand Slam and Rain Dance for Slam Dance.
And
then you would have
so Squawk bad.
Off. So I'm saying they're going to have all the regular non-combining cassettes set up that way. So you might get a Versus set, you might get two Autobot cassettes, you might get Slugfest and Overkill, however they could work it out. But I got a feeling they would not mix the non-combining cassettes with the combining cassettes. So you're going to see all that packaged, and then we'll get to the, like I said, Grand Slam, Rain Dance, Squawk Talk, and Beast Box. That's what I want to see us get to, is those last few combining cassettes.
Now, see, when G1 Blaster came out, he did not include a cassette, so I don't see that Masterpiece Blaster absolutely needs to include a cassette with its release either. Soundwave came packaged with a cassette because the G1 did.
Yeah, but Masterpiece Blaster will be smaller than G1 Blaster, so they'll need to make up the difference.
Okay, so let's see here what else we have going on. Power of the Primes, Rodimus Prime, and Optimus Prime found at U.S. retail today by Chris. So free comic book day, which is what, the first Saturday in May?
Probably. Yeah,
yes.
Thereabouts.
Yeah, every year.
Yeah. T-Formers is running slow for me, so I can't show it. So the Unicron debut, I guess, will happen. Actually, did Unicron already debut, or is it still, is he still to debut? Did we get a tease for him in the comic already?
Yeah, we got a tease for him at the end of First Strike, so. So we got like a 2-page spread of Unicron, I think, at the end of First Strike, so. But that's as much as we've seen so far.
So there will be the Unicron comic for Free Comic Book Day 2018.
Yes, and the
here it is.
The solicitation for that is teasing around that they might be this might result in a reboot for IDW Transformers, and at this point I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I was about to ask.
Hopefully it will separate it from G.I. Joe and Visionaries and Mask and all the other things that I don't care about.
Well, I think the G.I. Joe thing's already kind of fallen apart, so
I
think they're setting up for the new leader or Titan class figure that they're going to release in 2019.
Hey, you know, who knows? That could be the case.
Chances are good.
You could well be right, because generally, if they start an event in like the May Free Comic Book Day stuff, it does not hit until later in the year. So that could time out right for you there.
So while I am somebody who normally doesn't care for major reboots, at least when there's a lot of history involved, like I abhorred, and I still do, the New 52 with DC. I vastly prefer the way that Marvel
because
did.
Because it was garbage.
Yeah, well. So, I mean, I hate that stuff. But since Transformers is always sort of, I mean, every single comic that we've had was basically a reboot. Like whenever Marvel had it, whenever Pat Lee had it.
When it's gone from company to company, yeah, they reboot it.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm just saying is that that's been sort of the normal cadence that we've had. Whenever we've had a reboot after reboot after reboot. If the Transformers rebooted every 5 years, I would be okay with that. It's a chance to go in different directions and tell different stories, because the characters are so versatile that you can have completely different takes on them, and it doesn't feel unnatural like it would with, say, like Captain America or Batman.
I disagree with you, because the cartoons reboot themselves every couple of years, and I haven't cared about one in 10 years now.
Well, I'm saying use the same characters, but don't necessarily hold yourself to anything canonical other than like the very basics. They're from Cybertron. Optimus Prime is the good Autobot leader. Megatron's the evil Decepticon leader, blah blah blah.
I think that's kind of taking us back to what the actual concept of the align continuity was, where you have this consistent baseline to start any new project from.
Yeah, but
that didn't really turn out so well for them.
No, but I think people also had the false assumption, or the assumption that would be like one consistent thing that would go back to that.
Yes, that was widely misinterpreted.
Yeah.
Something that the TF Wiki maintains to this day,
because it was very, very, very poorly explained.
It certainly was.
And it's too mythological. There's all this extra stuff that doesn't need to be there. It's overly complicated for what it needs to be.
Yeah.
I think, to me, the best... Again, I know I'm not reading the series, and I understand that. But the way that I look at it, and I've looked at this for several years, is basically it's Doctor Who. Every couple of years...
I'd be fine with that.
The books regenerate. You still have the same basic characters, the same basic universe, but there's going to be differences as you go along. It's Doctor Who's been that way for almost 55 years now, with 13 doctors.
Yeah, I would be totally fine with that.
Basically, if you like Doctor Who and you're getting in, you know, concerned about this IDW stuff, it's really, to me, it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe that helps some. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm deep enough into the current IDW continuity now that I can be with Rob basically and say, yeah, I'm ready for something new to happen.
Yeah, there's not much left that's really holding my attention here. Your mileage may vary, but
if you are still enjoying it the same you did 5 years ago, that is excellent for you, and I'm genuinely happy. I cannot join you.
you know one thing that would get me to read the books that I would like to see,
well, Generation 2.
No, not just that.
Dragons cartoon continuation?
No, I'm just saying. I love that. No, what I'm saying is,
finally get Venger.
Start back with more, basically a more than meets the eye setup, but show the war from Alita One's point of view.
So that we know such a Don answer.
I know,
yes, but it is.
I mean, it's not something that I would consider out of the realm of possibility.
I mean,
creative climate today.
Because we know what's going on Earth, but if they rebooted it in the more than meets the eye in the G1 kind of continuity, it'd be a parallel. It wouldn't be the exact same. But it would be like up to this point, things were similar enough you could get by. Now we're looking at the war on Cybertron from Alita One and her people's standpoint.
Actually, literally, it would be a parallel universe. In how a parallel universe would actually work. Sorry, go ahead.
like the up until the point they launched, it would be almost identical. But to me, it would be a lot more interesting seeing how did Alita One survive for 4 million years with just her
underground.
But you know what I mean. To me, that's the side of the story that everybody's familiar with, but we know nothing about.
So for our IDW friends who are listening right now, take note because I love that idea. Okay, so what else we have going on here? For whatever reason, there are various Transformers games that are no longer available for digital purchase through Steam and PSN, and I fear that the same thing may happen with Xbox Live. Even though I already have it on the PC, I went ahead and got a cheap copy of Devastation on the Xbox One.
It's worth mentioning almost all of the games that have been removed from Steam and PSN are currently on sale on Xbox Live. And I've been told that that is something that happens frequently right before something gets delisted.
Yeah, makes sense.
If you want those and you have an Xbox One, it's time to do that.
I know.
Or if you already have one of those and you have been holding out on getting the DLCs for those, move on that right now too, because we've heard from a lot of people who were in the situation of they bought Devastation, they never got around to the DLCs, and now on Steam and PSN they don't have that opportunity anymore.
What DLC is there?
Damn, neither do I.
What DLC is there available for Devastation?
Alternate character.
Yeah, alternate character skins. Bumblebee becomes Goldbug, I believe. Sideswipe becomes Red Alert. Optimus Prime becomes Nemesis Prime.
So nothing worth buying.
And a couple other just minor weapons. I think the Darksaber, the Transformers Prime style. You know, nothing you're real that's really going to make the game feel incomplete if you don't get it.
No Big Daddy.
Yeah, same for Fall of Cybertron, where almost all, if not all, of the DLC for that was cosmetic things for multiplayer.
But again, if that's something that you've been thinking, if it's something you've been thinking about at all, I mean, you know, don't wait anymore, because you probably won't have a chance to get that after some point in the near future on Xbox, and you already can't on Steam and PSN.
Yeah.
So definitely go ahead and pick that up. So. Mayhem returns, so Power of the Primes package leaks of Voyager, Alita One, Hunger, Inferno, Deluxe, Moonracer, and Blast Off. What? Mm-hmm. Why did the person blur out?
We don't know.
Yeah. Probably
we don't care.
Probably done by the Hasbro side, I guess. Or whoever.
I don't think so, because I'm pretty sure there were a couple other things like released near this that were marked through similarly. And it's just, I think it's that same jerk bag that was parceling out their leaks in like little black and white slices a couple of years ago. I think they're trying to be cute again, and I wish they'd freaking stop it.
They have to find new ways to draw attention to themselves with other people's work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that's kind of what we're doing. So Inferno, which we knew about Inferno. The only thing that's new here that we had no idea about specifically was Blast Off.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, because I assumed after it didn't happen with Titan's Return that we were just never going to get it.
Hey. Matt, one thing is, y'all mentioned earlier in your prediction between you and I think it was Rob or John was talking about getting G2 Defensor, which would be basically, you know, could be, you know, they could also maybe do Guard City would be their thing. Inferno's red. He is the hotspot mold.
Yep.
maybe he is a torso for another Protect-A-Bot combiner group in whichever colors they come out with.
That is my hopes, because if they are doing another line of box sets, they will need to dig deep to fill out a whole line.
Yeah. Oh, something worth mentioning about the blast-off thing that I think I did not notice or think to mention in the original story is that it looks like it may come with Prime Master Megatronus.
Well, yeah, and that Megatronus is a different color from what we were indicated by the big leak before, too. So, you know, probably exclusive redeco of that to tie the mold into the line gimmick better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, speaking of leaks, Transformers Movie Studio Series leaked images and store inventory product info. There's a bunch of text here that just lists like item numbers and characters. What's the big takeaways? So there's a Striker and a Striker 2 and a Stinger. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So can we
early theory is that Striker is probably Bumblebee.
So can we infer based on the item codes, like what size, class, and anything these are?
I think the list in the article is broken down by size class.
Yep.
Yes, it is, if I would just read it. So
have some more coffee, Brian.
Yes. Hey, you know, I actually really do need to go grab an energy drink. So Sentry, Mercenary, Blue Light, Lockdown, obviously. TF1 Jazz, I wonder if it comes in two parts. Ratchet, TF1 Ratchet, which is a separate listing from the other one. TF3 Crowbar, Stinger, which a deluxe Stinger would be awesome. And again, Striker and Striker 2, which we think are Bumblebee. Voyager, Brawl, so that would be a new mold because Brawl was a leader class toy that we got before. Starscream, another Starscream listing. Megatron, codename TF2 Fox. So could this be a Human Alliance Megatron with a Megan Fox toy?
No.
Probably not. An Optimus Prime, TF2 Radar. Could this be a Dark of the Moon toy with Radar O'Reilly? No.
That's so bad.
Yeah, I know. Ironhide.
Yeah.
Grimlock.
I knew it was coming. You couldn't do anything about it.
No, you couldn't. And Blackout. You know. Damn it. That was actually a good joke, Chris. I just now got it. So, and again, Blackout. So, and some leaked images. Looks like we have Ironhide and Megatron. God, that Megatron's kind of ugly. But it is what it is.
Well, you know, Revenge of the Fallen Megatron. Kind of ugly.
Oh, speaking of ugly, there's that Ratchet. Oh, dear God, I hate that Ratchet. The Dark of the Moon Ratchet.
Did he look going like to be that? A good year this 2018?
Yeah. Hey, but a Stinger toy. That's wonderful.
Yeah, Diecast, wasn't Stinger a Pagani in the movie?
Yeah, I think he was.
Hopefully, I mean, even if they can't actually license the Pagani, hopefully they will get it looking pretty close, because I have always liked how Paganis look, so I wouldn't mind getting a toy of that.
So on that basis. I thought this was actually the case. In my headcanon, I thought Stinger was female. I guess.
Well, I mean, you can't really say one way or the other, because I don't think Stinger had any dialogue.
Yeah, but I just thought that Stinger was referred to in the feminine form when I read about the character officially. But I guess not.
I do not recall that, but I will not say that you're wrong, because I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I guess that's just a headcanon thing. So, yeah, there's that. What else we have? Power of the Primes, Deluxe Wave 2, high-res retail stock photos.
Yeah, there's nothing really, like, new or revelatory in these, I don't think. It's just, like, production plastic colors, you know, retail decos. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Man, it'll be nice to get the other Dinobots, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So either my internet connection is sloppy, but Skype is still working, or T-Formers is getting a lot of traffic, which is awesome. Hopefully it's
T-Formers is slightly sluggish, but I did not have the same kind of loading problems with it that you seem to be.
Yeah, I'm having some issues.
I'm having some now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm having some too. I know Jack's been doing some maintenance, so that may have something to do with it.
Transformers Authentics, official images and character details. Is it so beyond what we saw before? What does that include? Anything new?
Probably not. I think this is just from Amazon listings.
Yeah. It's nothing particular.
Probably better stock photos, but other than that.
So Generation Toy GT6 Sergeant non-streetwise from unofficial MP Protectobots team. Anybody know anything about it?
It's not streetwise in the Masterpiece scale.
Yep.
It's from Generations Toy. Yeah.
I like the name of the person who posted it, Alucard Lee.
Yeah.
I kind of like that they're doing like newer vehicles in this style. Like, that's obviously a Nissan 370Z.
It's nice looking.
Which is really cool. I really like that they're doing something that's more modern day vehicles for him.
Yeah, no, I like that this specific take on the Protectobots is reimagining the vehicles somewhat and not just directly remaking the original designs. Like, I'm in favor of that approach, in general, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I like that they kept Streetwise's windshield on the chest, but got rid of the rest of the hood, which kind of looked a little bit awkward on the original toy, and also was a piece very likely to get lost.
And the photos on T-Formers don't show it, but there's actually two versions of this. There's this one, and there's also a U.S. version, which actually has police along the doors, and it gets rid of the GT on the hood.
So that's funny.
Yeah, there actually are going to be two versions of this same vehicle.
In Japan, I could see why you would have a 370Z as a cop interceptor or something. But in the U.S., not so much.
I mean, like, high-performance police cars are a thing that exists in other parts of the world. We just don't really get that here.
No, we have them here.
Well, not to the same degree.
You used to have a GT Mustang. I would definitely take a GT Mustang over a 370Z.
Oh, no, 370Z is much nicer than a GT Mustang.
I'd rather have a Mustang.
You'd rather have that, but it doesn't mean it's a better performing car, Merca, necessarily.
Merca.
I had a 350Z, and it was an awesome car.
John did too.
Now I got an SUV.
Yeah, you do. It's a nice SUV, a though.
And a wife.
aren't the cars that the California Highway Patrol uses out there literally like some of the highest performance vehicles on the planet?
Like a Bugatti or something?
I mean,
probably not.
I mean,
1,400 horsepower.
In South Carolina, they drive BMWs.
They do?
Yeah. There's a BMW plant in South Carolina.
What world do you live in, man?
I'm in
the
Florida.
You got to do a side segment on where you live on this show. Give us a peek.
We used to have Mustangs and Thunderbirds here, but that was the 90s. I don't know what we have now.
Since the mid-2000s, there's occasionally in Tennessee's police car fleet Mustangs, but those are usually like just the for show cars. Like, those are the ones they'll take around when they're doing like the anti-drug work, especially if they're going to like talk at schools and stuff. Those are the ones they're show more than chase down, you know?
We used to have SS Camaros here as well.
Man.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. Okay, speaking of cars, in the new photo from the set of Bumblebee, we have Bumblebee as a bug. And I showed this to Kim, and I'm like, this is what Bumblebee is supposed to look like. And she's like, he's a Camaro. And I'm like, no, he's not.
Not in 1985, he's not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I have to admit, if they do get a toy out of that alternate mode, I'll have to buy it.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad they went with a girl as the main cast. I think that may help.
I think you may be right.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, people responded very well to
Megan Fox.
No. Well, yeah, but no, I was going to say people responded really well to the Isabella Moner in Transformers The Last Knight. So
yeah,
hopefully
yeah.
they can kind of roll some of that momentum forward here. Too.
She was too young, though. I like that.
She's a kid.
girl.
Diecast, yeah. Consider very carefully what you're about to say, because I might start making jokes about you instead of Don.
No, no, I'm just saying she looks older.
Transformers so has historically been about a Transformer and a kid. A teenager, usually, but younger.
That doesn't mean that's what it should stay.
No, I think it should stay that. Otherwise, you get, like, you know, Dark of the Moon and Revenge of the Fallen. And we don't want that. So, speaking of, Toys R Us UK follows U.S. division's lead to financial woes and unsure future. Wah, wah.
Yeah, it's just bad times for Toys R Us all around. So what this boils down to is that Toys R Us UK has been having financial problems and they're wanting to do internal restructuring. But because of how this process works in the UK, they have to get various boards to sign off on what they're trying to do. And one of them is requiring them to put a rather sizable contribution into their pension fund before they can do any restructuring. But they can't afford to do that until they restructure. So unless they can kind of get around that problem, there is a chance that Toys R Us UK is going to have to go into their equivalent of the same bankruptcy process our Toys R Us is going through right now. And as it turns out, if our Toys R Us had not filed for bankruptcy, they probably would have been able to contribute money to the UK branch to make this problem less of a problem, but they're not allowed to do that anymore because of the bankruptcy proceedings.
Hot off the presses. Just added to the show notes.
Yeah, Diecast put that in like 5 minutes ago.
I just saw it literally go through now. Talking about Fans Project, we have LER07SP PinchR, which is their Snarl?
Yeah, Snarl. This is so we talked about PinchR a few weeks ago. This is the convention exclusive version, which is in Diaclone colors.
And yet it does nothing for me.
I know, right?
I like the colors. It's nice interesting. Colors. It's different. It's not, you know, what I get normally.
Yeah.
And I already pre-ordered it.
But why is his tail sticking above his head? That's just...
That almost looks like a mistransformation. Like, it looks like it can fold down.
Like, I want to like it, but there's just something it doesn't... I don't know. It just... I guess if it were beside of something else and I could get an idea of how big it is, that might... That
These
might
are pretty beefy.
They are biffy, yeah. Beefy, yeah. Biffy.
Yeah, I mean, well, I have all three convention exclusives, Fan Project, Dinobot, so that's why I'm pre-ordering this, because it's the fourth one. Well, did Grimlock have an expansion?
I don't recall that one having an exclusive version, but
it had two different retail versions. You could either get it with or without the throne.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was a specific convention exclusive version or not.
There is a third one on the website that does come with a driver and has a little bit of blue, like the legs are blue and the hips are blue, but that's about the only difference. So I don't know if that's the Diaclone version of...
Well, if it comes with a driver, that would be the Diaclone version.
Yeah.
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 So that's something. So what's really cool, though, is that the Comixology Reader's Choice Awards, Transformers and IDW did really, really well. Lost Light won Best Series. James Roberts took Best Writer. Lost Light colorist Joanna LaFuente won Best Colorist. And Sarah Petre-Duchere, I can never say her name correctly. She won Best Artist, so that's pretty impressive. Tom Long took Best Letterer. So congratulations, IDW. That's awesome. Fans really do love the stuff, and we probably should focus more on the comics than we do, but we don't.
Don't bet on it.
No.
Yeah. So there you go. Congratulations, IDW. So actually, if you want to pick up the comics, though, you can go to tfradio.net/comics. tfradio.net/comics, and you can actually get your comics through Comixology and through your Kindle, and it's pretty awesome. Right now, first thing popped up was Transformers Redemption of the Dinobots, which you can pre-order for your Kindle and Comixology.
Maybe pick something else.
So Transformers versus the Visionaries number one, which you can pre-order for your Kindle and Comixology.
There you go, Don. You should do that right now.
If you want to get...
You have a Kindle, right?
No.
You have Comixology? You should.
Yeah.
You can get it here.
Yeah.
Just buy it through Amazon. tfradio.net/comics. Lost Light number 12. You can get it right here. Buy it with one click.
Maybe pick something else.
ROM versus the Transformers Shining Armor number 5. $1.99.
Yeah, $1.99. That's really good.
Buy with one click. One click. tfradio.net/comics. First Strike number 1, $1.99. Boss Light Volume 1 for $4.50. One click. Pretty sweet. tfradio.net/comics. Okay, so, and of course you can buy anything you want to at tfradio.net/Amazon. So, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Well, I'm trying not to laugh because what comes next? First up,
I structured the show notes the way I did on purpose, thank you.
Okay, so next up we have Chris's review of Lost Light number 12, and he does a very good and rational job of going over what the comic has done, which I am just going to sum up with, is with a heavy heart that I must announce that Lost Light is back on its bullshit.
You could also consider this review my breakup letter with Lost Light.
Yeah, mine came earlier in the year. I read his review of the first issue in this trilogy and decided to give this a shot to see if it was going to, you know, return to a form I was happy with. The first issue was decent. The second one was worrisome.
Borderline.
Yeah. And this one was, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're still enjoying Lost Light, I'm really happy for you. If
I really need to catch up.
If you're not,
do you?
I haven't read any of Lost Light yet. I have the comics; they're sitting in a pile in a box. I guess if you've already paid for them, you might as well.
Yeah, I mean to go over the things that that annoyed me the most would require spoilers, and I think it's too early for that for our live stream listeners. But, you know, just by, you know, by the associative property, we can now say that Cyclonus could kill a combiner. That's all I can say.
I mean, I'm not going to say that anybody who is enjoying Lost Light is wrong for enjoying that, because this is really subjective. But I've tried to give Lost Light a fair chance a couple times through its run, and it is not working for me anymore. More Than Meets the Eye really started to fall off for me after like the summer of 2015, and it never really recovered out of that from the things it started doing that I really just could not connect with. And from my perspective, it's just gotten worse. And what I saw between issues 10 and 12 here, which was basically the last chance I was prepared to give it, I don't think there's any coming back out of what it is, where it's going, and I can't go along with it anymore.
Yeah, and so we're doing the rational thing, which is that we are both stopping reviewing it for T-Formers, because the book doesn't need that kind of negativity. We don't need that kind of negativity. So it's better for everyone if we just stop. So, on slightly more positive note, I reviewed Optimus Prime number 14. Still not a great issue, but it did not sit as poorly with me as Lost Light did. But then on the far opposite end of the spectrum, we have XV's review of Till All or One, the Till All or One annual that wraps up the story. That is absolutely wonderful. I love that. That is a great comic, and if you've been following Till All or One, definitely pick it up. If not, I believe that it's all going to be collected in trades relatively soon. It's absolutely worth reading and picking up, and congratulations to Margaret Scott and Sarah Peter DuRocher for doing what is my favorite Transformers comic of the last year, if not several years.
Yeah, Till All or One had a lot of things still kind of in the air when the regular series ended, and Margaret Scott did a really good job of focusing on the right stuff to put in the annual to tie up and actually be able to give a satisfying ending. It can't wrap up all the loose ends, but it really nailed down, like, completing some of the important character arcs and getting the really important story facets kind of tied off. So it was a really well-handled finale for the series.
Yeah. And beyond that, we have some really great galleries from Chris of the Wave 1 Prime Masters, Vector Prime with Metalhawk, Liege Maxima with Skullgrin, and Micronus with Cloudburst. And as he provided for you to show the stream, there are more galleries coming this week.
For our audio viewers, it's Legends Misfire, the preview image, which should be linked from the show notes at tfradio.net/551.
Don, what's on the network this week?
Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek. Took a week off so our crew could spend Christmas with people they actually like, or maybe even their families. But you can go back and catch last week's episode where O'Brien, Jake, and the Cisco are stuck in a D&D instance. Jadzia has a rough time of it as science officer when the Dax symbiote is taking a nap. Gold Dukat learns Kira would probably sooner set the entirety of Bajor on fire than give him an inch. Odo and Quark are the odd couple, and Dr. Bashir mostly just doesn't understand what's going on. All set against the backdrop of the station literally trying to murder everyone in constantly escalating ways. It's Civil Defense from Season 3, and it's our penultimate podcast episode, Despair.
I love that episode so much, and it was really fun to podcast, too.
It's got Garrick and Dukat together.
I know! What's not to love?
Yeah. Is that the one where they accidentally trigger the security program?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Yeah, it was so good to podcast because there's so much going on in that.
Yeah. I will say this, it's not a spoiler. I love it when Dukat tries to beam off the station.
Yes, that's just fantastic. And everything that follows.
Exactly. Being Awesome with Rob Springer, episode 130, off topic. This Week in Awesome, Rob talks about The Last Jedi and his new Kinder Surprise toys before Q&A wants to know about Rob's planned viewing of The Toys That Made Us. Don't forget to check out Zone Base. Episode 131, Christmas in Awesome. This Week in Awesome, Rob talks about Christmas and how he enjoys it. Then we get a double shot of Q&A that's all Christmas themed. Everyone break the chocolate orange and check out Zone Base.
ZoneBase.org. 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 Sorry.
RPG
that
lessons.
That was like Japanese by way of Italy.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's the Italian dub of Zone.
Biocombat was the Japanese Beast Wars. I mean, Italian Beast Wars.
Question is Brown or me the floating space pink bunny thing? RPG Lessons Learned, episode 33, May 17th. Drop Call to Cthulhu. Call to Cthulhu 7th edition.
Good job, Don.
Dusty, Brian, and Mike do their best to keep their thoughts constructive on their worst session at May 17.
So because the guy is not going to listen to this, the podcast, I mean, the game that we played was by a college professor. I'm not going to name his name, but a very well-established college professor at a major university ran this game, and it was racist AF.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we have to dance around. We dance around that in the podcast because we're trying to be constructive. But the guy's not racist. He was trying to make it mature by making it thematic for the time, but it ended up just being racist. It was not good. Yeah, that was a miscalculation. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
No problem. Episode 34. The Sanctuary of Sumhuo, Pocket Fantasy RPG. Was I even close, Brian?
I think you are.
Dusty, Brian, Mike, and Chris were lucky enough to score spots in DM Scotty's Pocket Fantasy RPG game at May 17.
And that was the exact opposite. That was amazing.
But was it as good as our little adventure, huh, Brian?
No, it wasn't.
There Goes My Money, episode 33. It's good being an adult. Sometimes.
No, it's not.
It's our last episode of There Goes My Money for 2017. This week we talk about the best Transformer pre-ordered out there, including Power Baser, Movie Masterpiece Barricade. That's not one and more.
So, Diecast, do you have any reviews this week? I know that since episode 549, you've reviewed Power Baser.
Power Baser.
I need to put that up on the site.
I haven't gotten anything new, so I'm kind of waiting for stuff to come in.
I do want to remind everybody that next week will be the final episode of that one episode of Star Trek. We're having Ken come back to talk about that one episode of Voyager with us. So we expect to have a good time with that and then be done.
So
everybody should listen and enjoy our pain.
So many terrible episodes left unreviewed. It's sad.
Yeah, and then but don't worry, they'll be back with that one episode of Sailor Moon.
Are you going to be doing that project that you hinted about before?
I have hinted about like three projects before. Either be vaguely more specific or put in the Skype chat.
The one that is the cooking show.
Oh, I think we are going to try to do like, a pilot for that and see, how it will all work out production wise. But I mean, that's going to be a fairly different beast altogether than the podcasts.
Yeah. I can't wait to see that.
Like, you've seen how stuff on YouTube goes, like they'll structure it like it's seasons of a TV show. It'd probably have to be something like that too, since it'd be like batch filming, a few times a year. So it would not be like a every week thing. It would be batches here and there.
I wasn't going to do questions, but we got a tweet earlier that I didn't know the answer to off the top of my head. So I figured I would just throw it to you guys. On Twitter, Joshua Lamish asked, for Octone, his wing pivot thing is loose. The screw, non-screw part. How can I tighten it?
It's a rivet. Basically, I don't know if there's a good way to tighten it.
Yeah, so unless you could get like some floor polish down into the part where it moves, which would be difficult to do, like you would have to actually add something into that to make it tighten up. Being riveted like that, there's not a whole lot of option there of how to go about tightening that. It's the same way that like Hasbro six shots with their loose knees. It's a problem that a lot of people have, but there's not really a good way to fix it.
Gotcha. Okay. So find this episode in the show notes at tfradio.net/551. You can leave us voicemail at 931-99-GO-BOT. That's 931-994-6268. We actually got a voicemail last week from Anthony that I should have played. We can do it next week. That was a lot of fun. You can find us again on Twitter at tfradio and at facebook.com/tfradio and on Instagram at tfpodcast. Rob Springer can be found at zonebase.org and at RoboRobSpringer. And I'm personally on Twitter at BKilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Diecast is
on Twitter at Diecast2, on YouTube at RFC Reviews, and on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast.
Don?
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EBR.
Chris?
I'm on T-Formers with like photos and videos and that kind of stuff. And you can find other photos I do on my Flickr page at flickr.com/ChrisRTXP. And if you plug that into other, social services, you'll probably find me there too. Although that may just be Child Protective Services. I can't say for sure.
That's funny. I just realized that Don's mute doesn't work. I think that's funny. Matt?
You should look up Rob Springer on Twitter at RoboRobSpringer and check out zonebase.org.
Rob Clay.
I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flail Throughs. I am also on YouTube at Flail Throughs. This last week, I have started Mobile Suit Gundam Side Stories, which I was sent to record. Sometime soon, I'll probably be doing some kind of Gundam Versus stuff now that I've got that. And, of course, you can find the video work that Chris and I do for T-Formers on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
John.
That John D. everywhere.
And Don's keyboard can be heard at HMRC for EVR on Twitter. It's okay,
and
Don.
And all finer podcasts.
Yeah, Don, I'll have your microphone out in the mail tomorrow.
I thought I had it muted. I'm sorry.
I think you did. It's okay.
Well, if you click it too hard, it mutes and then it unmutes if you click
If a truck drives by, it unmutes. It's a go. I like the truck. Though,
if you click it too hard,
you know, screw it.
I've had buttons like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to edit the episode at all.
The click sensitivity is too high.
It's the last episode of 2018. You're getting it warts, clicks, and all. So we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?